That's right. We're starting right now in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got myself, Reginald Toulon. No football Friday here. Get involved with the program. The YouTube's up. The Twitch is up. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube. 610 Houston on Twitch. And, of course, always the text line, 713-572-4610. And this has nothing to do with the football of it, but my football Friday was going great until I did the thing. John, you've seen me do it multiple times, which is drop my pen. I don't know why.
I got extra pens for you.
I don't know why I keep dropping my pen. I'm going to lash out because clearly it's my responsibility. Right? Like I'm a human being with hands. I should be able to hold on to a pen. I'm blaming the desk.
You're blaming the desk.
I'm lashing out and blaming the desk.
I'm good with you. I got your back.
Okay, very good. Excellent. Yeah. but let's get into this, man. One of the things with this Texans team as we head into your noon game on Sunday at NRG, roof fixed against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and you'll hear that right here on 610. yesterday, we were watching practice, as is, you know, super important right now because you have a lot of people on the injury designations, or like that we were looking for on the injury designations. Obviously, Joe Mixon has still been, you know, indisposed after that injury off the hip drop tackle. You're still trying to see what's happening with Tank Dell after this weekend. And the injury report got a little hefty.
It got a lot hefty.
Yeah, man, I was kind of like, wait, what is happening here? Because all of a sudden you have like Nico Collins popping up with a hamstring. He was a limited participant in the course of this practice. Obviously, you still did not have Joe Mixon. Damian Pierce, we had like some scuttlebutt going around that he would play this weekend. But I mean, again, did not practice. It was like, hey, man, what is happening with this injury report? And with that
Tank being...
Yes. Yeah. Tank Dell, who we found out more about, like, obviously he has the hand, but also like supposedly something to do with the chest,
the ribs,
in there. So the, which I look, if you hear, when I hear like ribs bruised, cracked, anything like that, that sounds terrible, right? It's in the trunk. It is in like the core of your body. And also it sounds like if you breathe wrong,
you know,
if you laugh wrong, you are in a world of pain. So that, look, I do not envy Tank Dell in that regard, but yeah, that's a lot of guys that we're talking about, and especially a lot of people that you that factor in a big way to this Texas team.
I mean, let's think about it. Yeah, you know, what are we talking about when we come into the season outside of C.J. Stroud? Nico, Tank, Mixon, Stephon.
Five-headed monster.
Three of those dudes might not play. Probably won't play. Like Nico, Tank, and even though Nico was limited, what worries me about that is it happened on Wednesday. Like, whatever it was.
A hell of a practice, man.
Yeah, it happened on Wednesday. And if it's a hammy or something, he's not going to play. I mean, he's just not. You know, if something happens like that, and we don't know for sure. It said hamstring on the injury report, though. And so I'm thinking, okay, if it happened on Wednesday, he's probably not going to play. We have to watch today's practice. So no Nico, no Tank, no Mixon. And maybe not Damian Pierce.
And then Jimmy Ward with his groin did not practice on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know to what extent that is. But, I mean, again, Jimmy Ward factors in a big way when it comes to this defense. And so you've got a lot of people popping up on this injury report, which I think then leads us to the question that who now has to step in if you do have some bad things happening, right? If you do have Nico Collins all of a sudden with that hamstring being less than capable of going, or maybe not even being able to be like 100%, even if he is going, right? Tank Dell, it seems like he's just not going to play this week. Like, that feels to be what we're dealing with here. I mean, we mentioned Joe Mixon.
I don't see it happening.
It's not going to happen. A couple of days not practicing. Is Damian Pierce still out, right? Like, now are we considering that Cam Akers, RB1 once more? And then, you know, Jimmy Ward thing also adds a little bit, because now we're talking about the defensive secondary with, I think, a depth chart that we are not necessarily entirely sold on in the defensive secondary.
Who
has to carry the load? Who has to step up and really show out for these Texas teams?
Well, it's obvious to me, and that's Stephon Diggs and Cam Akers. You know, two new acquisitions. One of them, after training camp began, all of a sudden... You know, Cam Akers has to do something in the run game. We're going to dig in deep on the offensive line. It's a big story. It's the story for the game. And Stephon Diggs. Like you can't count, although you'll hear this later about during confessions about John Metchie, but you can't count on John Metchie. Xavier Hutchinson has had a couple of moments here and there. He'll be filling in for Nico. Metchie will be in for Tank, or vice versa, however it plays out. It's Stephon Diggs, man. It's Stephon Diggs, because number one, you want to be able to get in some third and shorts, which we've been talking about all week, and you want to be able to get some points on the board and actually light it up a little bit, even though we've seen some hints here and there. I think it's Stephon Diggs, 100%.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like you should be encouraged that Stephon Diggs has, I mean, even in the course of this, week one, he got a couple of touchdowns, but week three, we saw him, you know, really get some targets, get some catches, get some yards on the board. I know that over the course of it, the offense did not play at a high enough level all the way around, and I guess a lot of that is like kind of some penalties and then just like a lack of focus that then took some of those things off of the board. But at the very least, that connection seems to be there in a way that now, if that has to be a focal point, I mean, you knew that Stephon Diggs was capable of playing at that level. CJ Stroud was capable of playing at that level. And it seems like they are on a good enough, they have a good enough rapport that that should step up. I do think that then John Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson, I think also, but John Mechie, I think that he has an opportunity to do something within this game. Like, it was one of the reasons why we talked so much about him. Coming into this season and preseason and the like, was he started putting it on the field, putting it on paper, some of the things that we were talking in a hypothetical sense about with him.
Yeah.
Now is an opportunity, possibly, right? Obviously, with Tank is likely to be out, so I think Mechie definitely gets some opportunities with this, even if it's just being active and getting a little bit more time on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But he might get a lot of time on the field, and some of the things that you're trying to replicate, he is the next guy up to be able to do some of those things. I think it's a good opportunity to finally get a chance to see something from a player that was highly regarded, that was drafted highly, and just has not had the opportunity due to poor luck, and then in some ways, you know, a roster that has gotten stronger over time.
And then there's the other side of it, and I think ultimately this won't make a lot of people feel better if the defense wins the game, because people want to see what's the offensive line doing, false starts, pre-snap, all that stuff. Can Cam Akers run the ball? Is Stephon, as I just mentioned, going to be able to, you know, to do some things offensively and really carry the load? But remember, Figgy, you were there at the Texans, was it the preview, the kickoff?
Season premiere. We said all the words
all around.
Preview. Goodness gracious,
Mark Vandermeer was on the stage interviewing some players. And I thought about this morning. And he had Jimmy Ward on stage.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Ward told him, this defense feels like we can win some games. In other words, he was kind of saying, we know what the offense is. We know what the expectations are with CJ, et cetera. But this defense feels like we can win some games. Well, now would be a very good time for that to happen. Now would be a very good time for the defense to get the sacks, to get the picks, to get the turnovers, to stuff a really, you know, a really struggling quarterback. It won't make us feel a lot better because we want to see what this offense can do.
It won't
make
me feel better at all.
No, it won't.
Actually, yeah.
But if you want to win and, you know, we're talking about who has to step up, well, let's see that defense, Jimmy. And Jimmy may not even play, but I'm saying let's see that defense, because if you say we feel like we're going to win, we can win some games on the defensive side of the ball, now's a great time.
Yeah, the problem is that defense for the, you know, the Jags is not good at all, right? Like, I
get it. It won't make us feel better.
We're talking about some really important players on offense. Don't get me wrong. Nico Collins, who I'm very content to say is wide receiver one, with all due respect to the plethora and the talented wide receiving core that you've put together, right?
Yeah.
Tank Dell, who has been like an explosives guy for you, right? I understand that. Joe Mixon, I don't even need to tell you exactly why he factors in so valuable or in so much to what you're doing offensively. Still, even with all that being the case, like, especially against a team defensively that looks as poor as it feels like the Jaguars have played.
Yeah.
Even if you're getting into some of the depth of this, it still needs to look like you're out here doing and capable of doing some of the things that are happening, even if it's not everything.
Well, that's what we want. You know, that's what we want. But, you know, if you're 3-1, obviously that's a huge, you know, thing to have. We might still be having these same conversations about the line because you're right. I've said it a couple of times this week. That defense has given up over 28 points a game, man. If you've got to be able to, you've got the Jacksonville defense.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to make hay on that. But if you're saying who has to step up, given that the offense has been, you know, decimated somewhat, it's those guys. It's those guys on the defensive side of the ball.
How do you feel about Robert Woods within all of this, right? He remains a veteran within this. They did not go the route that we thought maybe they possibly would, where they just go after the big three. When it comes to the wide receiving core, that they went all young, they didn't do that. They made sure that they had Robert Woods within this. It feels like this is an opportunity for him to step in and show his, you know, consistency and his veteran nature, veteran savvy within it. For
well, he's going to get the snaps. There's no question about it, Abby, because we, you know, we'll be following practice today, and today's practice obviously is really important in terms of who we think to play or not. Well, he's going to get his snaps for sure. But I feel like, you know, obviously Stephon is going to get the most attention now for sure. He's going to be the guy, you know, that's going to be getting the most attention. I still feel like he's going to be the guy, and either Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie. Robert Woods is going to be what we know he is and get a few catches and move, maybe hopefully move the chains, et cetera. But I feel like it's going to be those other two guys.
I want to see what John Metchie do, man.
Yeah.
Like, this, to me, this would be the perfect time for him to step up and show that he can at least come up big in some moments.
Yeah.
Because remember, they released Noah Brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I ain't saying Noah Brown was the best thing coming, but he was solid whenever CJ needed somebody like that last season.
Yep.
So you gave him up to keep somebody like a John Metchie.
He had a 175-yard game or something in that neighborhood.
Yeah, he had a couple of 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think right now would be the perfect time to have a Noah Brown type of guy that you could kind of lean on a little bit. And I feel like Metchie should be that guy.
And yeah, in some ways, the way that we've talked about it, Robert Woods kind of profiles as the Noah Brown, like, just consistency guy that, mm-hmm, you know is going to come in and do what you want. It'd be great if you could have John Metchie kind of give you some of those things. I appreciate that as well. But I kind of want to get to the Jimmy Ward of this, right? Mm-hmm. If Jimmy Ward, him not playing on a Thursday, right, or not practicing, rather, on the Thursday leading into this game,
mm-hmm,
if that is any level of, you know, predictor of whether he will play on Saturday.
It's a big predictor.
What do you need to see defensively, right? Like, I think, for one, we know Aziz ends up being, I mean, he is the leader on this defense, mm-hmm, in a way that Jimmy Ward has been in the past, and I'm sure they both kind of are still big voices when it comes to that defense. Aziz is going to have, you know, that presence still on the defense, so it's not like you're losing that entirely. But
yeah,
when it comes to that safety spot, like, how are you feeling when it comes to stepping into that place? Because I know that the Jaguars aren't a great team,
mm-hmm,
but they still have a deep depth of target. And one of the things we talked about was deep plays.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that they got on in week one. Are you confident? Are you comfortable? Is that something where you're hoping to see some level of picking up of the load there?
Well, of course I'm hoping. I don't feel real confident about
it.
What do you have? MJ Stewart, you know, Eric Murray. And by the way, isn't it going to be funny to see how they line up if Jimmy Ward doesn't play? Because they've been telling us all year long, all offseason, all training camp, all early in the season. Oh, yeah, Jalen Petrie's a safety. Jalen Petrie's a safety, but we put him at, you know, in the nickel. Do they move things around?
Do you think they put him back at safety?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. They've been telling us that he's a safety.
I mean, some of the people we're talking about, you mentioned, obviously, Eric Murray, who is basically a starter. He's a starter right now anyways. Yeah. But MJ Stewart is in that room. Kalen Bullock. That we have been, you know, had a lot of, you know, a lot of good things to say about, and we feel really good about. And obviously, he's produced in some ways early. Jalen Petrie is also a possibility there. How does that move around? Do they feel confident with Miles Bryant getting any time type of go? Do you see someone like D'Angelo Ross or, mm-hmm, even Desmond King, right, get some level of shine within this? I think it'll be really interesting to see if Jimmy Ward doesn't go. And of course, today's practice report, later in the show and probably into the drive, will give us a lot of information when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But what they do in the secondary wise is going to be really interesting, because depth in the secondary was a question for us. And now, if you possibly don't have Jimmy Ward, you have to see what that depth looks
like. It's going to be really fascinating to see how they play this at the safety position. Kalen Bullock's probably going to play the majority. But again, Jalen Petrie, if he stays in the nickel, maybe that's just what they want, because, you know, he can be a valuable asset there, you know, around the ball and stuff. But they've been saying he's a safety. We're just putting him there. Well, this is an opportunity to maybe put him there. If they don't, it'll be very telling.
Yeah, ultimately, the real step up is the thing that we've been talking about all week, which is the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, when it comes down to it, if you have these injuries, wide receiver wise, you know, making sure that you give CJ the time to be able to get to some of these guys, you've done a good job getting separation. And not to say that I don't believe in Xavier Hutchinson or John Metchie or Robert Woods, but in the off chance that there is maybe, mm-hmm, less separation within those guys, within that core of guys playing, as opposed to what you get with Nico and Tank, what I think then becomes even more imperative is making sure that it is blocked up in a great way, consistently enough for CJ Stroud to be able to pick defenses apart with his capabilities.
They need Cam Akers to make him look good. Cam Akers really knows how to read this line blocking scheme. And so it's not just them. It's Cam Akers as well. You know, here's the thing. And as we're talking here, I just kind of realized it. I shouldn't be this nervous about this game. And yet it is kind of a nerve-wracking week for if you're a football fan in this city, you know, because there are so many questions and I guess skepticism, you know, that we have on this team. Safety, offensive line, running back, receiver. I mean, this is a wild week. This is a huge, huge week for this squad.
A lot of that is because of the kind of the injuries. If you did not have these particular injuries popping up in the time that they did, right?
Mm-hmm. But not all of it, because they're still not looking good.
Yeah, and I think it would be a lot of it offensive line, which I'm right there with you on.
Yeah.
And then what else are you looking at? Because for me, it's just I'm trained
on the
trenches. Yeah, and
running back, Cam Akers, can he do it? You know, it's a very nerve wracking kind of time right now.
Is it bad that it's more the resignation on the running game for me already?
It ain't great. It ain't great.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think you're wrong. You know, I think I said it Tuesday. This might be the biggest week a Texans offensive line has maybe ever had when you consider expectations, investment. The number of players that are premium, either paid or draft picks, and the way they've looked, this is a huge week for the offensive line. Absolutely huge.
Yeah. Someone texts in and asks if we have any updates on Christian Harris. I haven't seen anything.
No.
To that end. I mean, obviously, after this week, he would be eligible to return from the injured reserve. I imagine that we'll probably get more information and hear more about that over the weekend with the game and then afterwards, but I haven't heard anything in that regard, and I don't know if that if that leans towards being a negative or a positive thing. It just feels like it's a it-is-what-it-is moment right now.
I'm not real worried about him. I heard you.
Uh-huh.
I'm not.
I really should stop, but I can't. It's fun.
I'm not real worried about him at this point because I feel like he's getting the rest he needs.
Also, how much of that is just Henry Toa has stepped up in such a big way?
Yeah, he wasn't great last week, but he has otherwise. And so, I mean, hell, maybe he's one of the guys that steps up, you know, and because I feel like we might be having, you know, as I mentioned, these same conversations next week. But it'd be cool if the defense wins it and you're 3-1 having those conversations.
Okay. Well, I mean, a lot of injury things kind of popped up within it. We mentioned the idea that Nico Collins was limited yesterday, dealing with the hamstring designation. Obviously, Tank didn't practice. You didn't have practice for Mixon, Pierce, and then Jimmy Ward didn't practice yesterday. So, look, the injury report getting a little bit a little bit heftier. We had seen a lot of good fortune early on, not having a ton of injuries, and now they're starting to stack up. It is a war of attrition, football is, and so going to be interested to see how the Texans are able to handle that going forward. We're just getting started on a Football Friday here in the Loop. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit about Thursday Night Football. First of all, what a mess of a game that was, but how would you feel if the Texans ended up winning in the same way that the Cowboys did last night? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it, love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Happy Friday, y'all. It's a Football Friday here in the loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Always get involved with the program by texting it, 713-572-4610. We're kind of want to talk about that Thursday Night Football game that you saw. A 20-15 victory for the Cowboys. And what is, why do they keep doing this to us?
What's
the
NFL?
Nationally televised Cowboys Giants games. Because they're all the same, man.
It's almost every game. I was going to say it's every year. It's
when
every
was
game.
The last good Giants Cowboys game?
Good is relative.
Good is relative. There's your answer.
Like this one, I think there are ways that you could say this was a good game. I would not say that necessarily.
No.
But, like, it was competitive. It was close in score.
Well, you are reaching.
Yeah.
It was kind of a mess.
Hey, I wasn't even excited about this game from the beginning, man. I let my wife watch 911.
There we go.
For the first hour.
Hey, there you go.
And I ain't even missed nothing.
So there was peace. There was peace in your household.
Yeah. Did you notice that?
I'm like, babe, go ahead.
Did you notice that? I let my wife.
Yeah, that was a little. Yeah,
I literally.
Wow.
I'm glad she don't listen.
If it was another game, she would have to watch it today.
I ain't never let my wife do anything.
There you go. That's a man.
It's a man. I'm a man.
All right. Good luck.
Yeah.
See how she feel about that.
Yeah.
But I was interested, right? Because look, we're heading into this Jaguars game. We've talked about some of the you know, obviously you need to win this, right? Just record wise, you need to make sure that you are putting yourself in a good place. Sean did a great job of laying it out. When we were taking a handoff, right? The idea that, you know, if you lose this game, you put yourself in a situation of being 2-2, right? The division lead is not robust anymore, right? But then you're also now looking at a run of games where you have the Bills and then a couple of road games against the Patriots, who are looking a little frisky, and then the Packers, who are legitimately a good team, right? You're putting yourself in a place where you're no longer setting yourself up for a great record in the ways that we felt like you're capable of, but also, I think that when it comes down to like predicting future performance, wins and losses are good, but we've seen how wins and losses can have a paper tiger, or you can have a team that is where the record does not reflect how good they actually really are. And I think that we need to talk about like performance. And for me, if the Texans ultimately end up winning a Cowboys-esque game like this Thursday night football game, I'm going to have some concerns.
Oh, for sure. And well, let's ask our listeners here. 713-572-4610, and of course you can message on Twitch and YouTube. How would you feel if the Texans won Sunday like the Texans won last night? Here's how I would feel. If they won like that, I still wouldn't be sure they're a good team. I think they would be on their way to being Cowboys like in the sense of this team shouldn't just be, and fans of this team shouldn't just be happy to get there. You know, you'd be 3-1. You'd be on your way. The division is not good. You would have had your second division win. So you would be, you know, pretty much a driver's seat to the playoffs. But is that good? Is that what you want? Because what's the storyline in Dallas right now? Regular season doesn't matter. Season doesn't matter. Is this team going to do anything in the postseason for the first time in a long time? So if the Texans win like they did, like the Cowboys did last night, I wouldn't feel great. I'd feel like they're kind of like a Cowboys South, kind of thing going on.
Buddy, that nobody wants to be that right.
Nobody wants to say that. It kind of hurt me to say that. But, it's not about the regular season with this team. Do you have what it takes to be a postseason threat?
Yeah, and within that, right, trying to figure that out, the measuring sticks are different levels and different calibers of team.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, and it's kind of interesting, as we've asked this question from the 281, win is a win, right? It's hard to feel bad about being 3-1 in the NFL. Winning ugly games is just as important as dominating teams, right? Another person from the 346, I feel the same way about low-scoring tight win as a blowout. A win is a win. And I was kind of surprised that I would see enough of these. Or a lot of these, right? 713 said we won the first two games the way the Cowboys did last night. And I think that's kind of the point for me.
Yeah.
Is that I want to be able to see this offense, you know, humming at a level where they're a lot closer to, you know, a lot closer to good than they are to just making it through, right? That is the thing that would, especially handling up the teams that are bad and doing really well against them.
Yeah.
Because this is not going to be your competition. The Jaguars are not your ultimate competition if you want to get to where
you
want to get,
exactly.
Right? And so handling them up in a good way would at least get you closer to proving that when you face up against the good teams that you can have good performances.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that's ultimately what I'm looking for this week. Against a good team, if you can get a win and play well, that's great. Against a bad team, the win almost is the mandatory. I need to see you play well is what I'm looking
for. Exactly. If you win like this next week, we're all happy. Because you beat the Bills. But if you win like this week against a team with a struggling quarterback and giving up a lot of points and just not playing good football, and the coach is on his last legs, that would not be an issue. We'd be here again. Look, listen, the 281 put it very bluntly, but I can't argue. He said that if you win like the Cowboys did last night, you're just like the Cowboys. You beat bad teams, can't beat the good teams. You are mediocre. I don't want to like that, but I think it's true.
Right, and I feel like I would understand the win is a win point, and I'd be able to be there a little bit earlier or a little bit more with you, mm-hmm. dear texters, if I have already seen them put it on paper and put it on wax that, hey, we can rev the engine up.
Yeah.
We haven't seen them rev the engine up yet.
Yeah.
So I need to see them rev the engine up. Like, yeah. that's where I'm at, right? If this was week 11 and it was just like, hey, man, the grind of the season, or, you know, it be like that sometimes, right? If it was one of those type of situations, all right. We haven't seen them get to that high point yet. We haven't seen them get near that high point yet, really. And you can hear it in the answers that, you know, various people are giving from the Texans, that they feel a level of frustration with the fact that they are not playing to the level that they expected themselves, talk less of what is expected from the outside looking in. I want to see you rev the engine.
If the Bills were playing the Jaguars on Sunday, okay, and they won like the Cowboys last night, no one would be worried. Because they've revved the engine, as you know, to use your words. Like, no one would be worried. It's like, it's the proverbial ugly win, proverbial playing down to your competition. But good teams win that. The Texans have not looked like the Bills, you know, so they have never, you know, to use your example. Like, if the Bills were playing them and won like that, no one would worry. It's like, okay, well, they got it, but, you know, they didn't look that great, but they probably played down to the competition, et cetera. The Cowboys game last night was one that, if the Texans play like that again, we're all still worried about all the same things probably.
Yeah, and I mean, without even getting into, like, mm-hmm. some of the things, I know that Cowboys, you know, people that are talking about it, there's frustration.
Yeah.
There's frustration because of the way that, like, there's things within what they're doing that is not living up to mm-hmm. the heights that they believe themselves, especially when you have a lot of money invested in various places, which brings me back to the thing that I feel like we've been talking about all week. Hey, man, offensive line, right? Like, I this is a great opportunity for you to go out, and I think one of the places, and we'll talk about matchups that we're looking at, I think one of the places that you have an opportunity to actually get a little bit, somewhat of a challenge from this Jaguars team is when it comes to their defensive line. Like, hey, let's do some more measuring and see if this offensive line is not only capable, but willing, because I feel like it's kind of crazy, and mm-hmm. I don't like that you're having to question the willingness of your offensive line to go out there and be dominant, but that's where I feel like we are right now.
Oh, and we'll be there even more so if they have another game like they did, or even close to last Sunday. We're going to be talking about, you know, players like Laremy Tunsil. Does he really care? You know, players like Titus Howard, has he really taken a step? Players like Kenyon Green, who is early on was very good, wasn't very good last week. You know, we're going to be having that discussion again. So, yeah, no, this, I'm not a big proponent or fan of the whole style points, you know, term. They need style points. They need style points on Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't like terming it as style points, but I think you're right. Like, I want to see that you are capable of getting to that place. Like, even the idea of the high watermark, we haven't seen yet. It's mm-hmm. hypothetical right now. I'd like to get some idea, some eyes on what the high watermark is for this team. What the high level end of this offense in particular, because the defense has showed us some of this, right? I don't want to neglect the fact that the defense mm-hmm. has played to a pretty high level. We've gotten turnovers. We've seen them stop the run. All these things. Maybe this is more just on the offense, but I want to see you again. I want to see you rev the engine.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for. So look, I get the win. Please, by all means, right? And if that ultimately is the case, we'll deal with that going forward.
They need to whoop their ass, man.
Yeah, they do.
Like, it's a style point. They need to beat them like they stole something. They need to beat them to the point where Doug Peterson would get fired.
That's what Sean said.
Why not?
It need to be an ass whooping like that.
It does.
Because it can't be a close game where it give the Jazz a little life, or Doug Peterson a little life where it's something there. Nah, you need to make them look like they stole something.
I agree.
You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go into the question of the day. Last night we saw the ultimate closing of Oakland Coliseum as the A's finished out their tenure there. We're getting a win. With that moment, like what sports moment made you grieve? Like, just like that. Like, it seemed like Oakland A's fans were grieving there. 713-572-4610. Let's break that down next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, man, you're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a Football Friday. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us as we get you ready for Texans Jaguars Sunday noon. And you can hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Starting at 9 a.m., Seth and Sean will get you going, get you ready. for this game. A lot of reaction. We appreciate you guys getting involved. Somebody asked if Nico and Tank and Mixon aren't available, how do you expect them to whoop that ass? Hey man, how good of a team do you expect? Or do you think this team is? Because the Jaguars aren't that good. I feel like if you can't, especially with the depth that you have built, if you can't find a way to put together something to actually show up well against the not that good Jaguars team, even though understanding that they are an NFL team, they get paid all those things. This is what we're talking about. Yeah, how good of a team?
Them cats are 0-3, man.
And they
lost to the Browns.
And they came from Buffalo where they got their butts handed to them. Landed, had flight delays, didn't leave till 2 a.m. Now they got a flight to Houston, and they stink. I'll tell you how I expect it, because you should expect it. You should expect it no matter with Nico or no Nico or whatever.
And even not even talking about the talent part of it, but they just look out of it.
It looked like
he lost that locker room. It looked like they not on the same page.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they get blown out again.
Yeah.
I mean, am I saying that, am I too far ahead on the Texas timeline? Because maybe you can get to the just a win is a win perspective if you're like, hey, they're still building into a real contender and, you know, just getting wins. But I feel like this team has been put together to be a win now team.
That's your answer.
And so with that being the case, I feel like if you're a win now team, you got to display yourself and the capabilities of being able to win.
They didn't bring in young players and draft young, you know, receivers and all this other stuff. They went out and got guys. They got Joe Mixon. They got Stephon Diggs. They're built for now. Yeah, I expect it.
All right, let's get to the question of the day. Last night, we saw the closing down of Oakland Coliseum. Maybe not like physically, but I mean, at least in theory, is the final primary tenant. Mm-hmm. The Oakland A's played their final game in that stadium. Mason Miller on the mound, and they get a 3-2 win over the Rangers, and that allows them to finish this thing out, man. It was really sad to see because there was a lot of green jerseys, a lot of yellow, a lot of... people, I mean, they sold that thing out and
48,000?
Yeah, man. There was a lot of people there with signs and stuff, like, I'll miss this place. Mm-hmm. And that's a fan base that had no love for the ownership itself, but they came out with the nostalgia of it. And so you could see them really in mourning. And that got us asking, what sport event had you in mourning in the same way as the A's fans?
What made you grieve like that? I'm not going to lie, man. I mean, I didn't watch the game live, but I ended up watching some highlights. And by the way, how cool is this? You know, people always say baseball is just unique. The last pitch that Mason Miller threw at Oakland Coliseum was 103.5 miles an hour.
How can I be romantic about baseball?
The fastest pitch ever thrown at Oakland Coliseum was the last pitch.
That's incredible.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. That's what baseball is. That's baseball. But back to the point here, I was kind of, you know, secondary grieving, you know, or whatever. It made me think about when the Oilers left. I was at the last game.
Sure.
They played the Bengals. There was about 12, 14,000 fans there because everybody was already off the Bud Adams, you know, train, so to speak. Like it made me feel like, man, and keep in mind, when the Oilers left, there was no, oh, don't worry, the Texans are going to be here in 5 years or whatever.
It was
like, will we ever have football again in Houston? Like, that was a story, an ongoing story.
Yeah.
And then when they tried to get a franchise, oh, LA is going to get it. Why is Houston even bothering? LA is going to get the franchise. I mean, that's a given. And then they ended up getting it. But that was, what, 5, 6 years there? And keep in mind, and you know, as a sports fan, forget that I'm also in the industry.
Yeah,
I'm like, man, what am I going to do?
Right.
Like, I was grieving when the Oilers left, and so that made me feel about that. What made you grieve like that?
And before I moved to that place, I'd feel. I mean, look, it's a similar situation. Mm-hmm. Like, the city just refused to bend the knee to a billionaire in that instance. Right. Mm-hmm. That is what Oakland is dealing with. Multiple times in the span of 5 years, mind you.
Yeah.
Don't forget in 19, the Warriors leave and the Raiders leave.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors going to San Fran, Raiders going to Vegas. So, yeah, that's tough. Not quite to the same level, but this came in on the text line from the 832. 2018 Western Conference Finals Game 5, Chris Paul hamstring. Said it made their heart
that's
slow
a good
down
one.
Completely. I was in that same place.
Yeah. Like,
I think everybody in basketball has the feeling and the belief that if Chris Paul is not injured there, They had the Warriors on the ropes. Mm-hmm. They beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
That changes the entire definition of that 10-year Rockets basketball.
Yeah, if they and go James to the Harden there. And everything else. I mean,
and now that 10-year is just a joke, right? Like you people come up with the missed three-pointers. What was it, 27 or mm-hmm. what have you, right? People keep hitting you with that instead of what should have rightfully been a finals team and possibly a championship team. I mean, like the maybe the best shot outside of like the actual Cavs getting it done of people getting at the Warriors during that run and just an injury away.
Figgy, I don't want to bring up bad memories. Actually, it was probably before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the first NFL games I ever covered.
The draft.
The fumble.
Oh, man.
Ernest Biner.
Yeah.
I saw grown men weeping in the stands in Cleveland. It was a cold day. I was like 24 years old covering an NFL playoff game. Browns had they were going to win. They were going to win.
Yeah.
And go to the Super Bowl. Dude, I mean people were
my father still talk about that to this day. They talk about the fumble, the drive.
Yeah.
Man.
Grown men like openly weeping in the stands. It was unbelievable.
Man.
It was unbelievable.
You're not drawing me off size 979 because 979 wants to talk about the Astrodome. We're not doing that. We got close enough with him talking about the Oilers. We're not letting him go there. Someone said from the 832 reminded me of that last time that they saw Jim Kelly put on the Gamblers uniform.
Hey, the Gamblers had a following, man. That was big time. I don't know if I grieved, but they were a fun team to watch. That's the thing about sports, man. Like the certain things that, and it could also be just a bitter, bitter loss, like you were talking about with the hamstring.
Yeah.
But usually it's the bitter loss that, like the Ernest Biner fumble, like the hamstring, that it was right there. Like it was right there. I feel like, here, even the Buffalo game, you might have grieved a little bit, the blowing the big lead.
Oh, yeah.
But you could see it coming. Like, you could see it happening right before your eyes.
Yeah, but some of that, I think that also factors in, because sometimes you pre-grieve. Someone, brought up on the text line, 346, they said, dude, they were scared when the Astros came up for sale. Right? Like, that idea, you're just in that place where you're like, damn, this is going to happen. I mean, mm-hmm. thankfully, it did not. But, like, if you're already in that place where you're pre-grieving something that could happen, 832, Fox Lemon Jam and losing to NC State.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I
wasn't with you there because I was not yet born. But,
it wasn't a pass. He was trying to make a shot.
Oof. Yeah, just everybody watching the ball and nobody going to rebound and grab the ball in that instance that would have gotten Houston that championship that they absolutely deserve.
Hakeem Olajuwon got suckered out of the lane. Oh. That was a man. And you know what? It could be actual grief. Somebody mentioned Kobe.
Buddy, that's a great point.
Yeah. That's I kind of felt like that. And mind you, I wasn't the biggest Kobe fan. I couldn't stand Kobe, especially on the court. Like, just on the – that was just somebody I couldn't stand. Mm-hmm. But just that moment – honestly, even outside of the death part, but his last game where we knew it was over, that to me, it kind of got to me a little bit where I'm like, damn, like we ain't gonna see no more Kobe on the court. Like,
what was that, like 60 shots and or 60 points and 50 shots, something like that.
Yeah.
Which was like the perfect Kobe meme to end this with. I think it was the suddenness felt unreal. There are definitely things like that, right? When you have somebody pass, especially
I remember exactly where I was, which is always an indicator.
Same.
Like, if you remember exactly where you were.
I don't feel like I'm often in that, like, and maybe my memory just can be a little bit funny sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't often remember exactly where I am with things. That's one of them.
But when you do.
One of the few ones.
Yeah. I remember I was getting ready. I was supposed to go to Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there. I just seen Twitter going crazy. Like, this can't be real.
Yeah.
And I cut on ESPN right then and there, and they wouldn't even talk. They was showing the – I think they were showing the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It was some – I think they were showing, like, the Pro Bowl. I'm like, why are they not talking about it?
Yeah.
And then eventually they broke into it, and we actually jumped in on air to kind of talk about it. It was on a weekend.
Yeah, it was real nasty, too, because I think that the delay in talking about it was because you had
– You're trying to get the facts.
Yeah, TMZ leaks. And you're like, TMZ is relatively credible, but also, like, where are they getting this from? How do we substantiate it?
We kind of forget how these news networks actually have to wait for sources and confirm stuff. They can't just hop on that quick. They got to make sure it's right.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, what is ESPN doing? Why are they showing the Pro Bowl? Like, I want to see the news. And then eventually they cut from it.
I was on my boat. I was on my boat. That's why I remember exactly where I was.
If you want to take a place where John is, I feel like
the, pretty much
the boat versus the
field. Shoot in the dark.
Yeah, the boat versus the field.
I always set my phone on the console there, and I heard it just kept buzzing. I was like, "What the heck is going on?" And it was people telling me, or you know, news reports, and I'm like, "Holy!" And then this is not a bad one here. From the 936, when the Texans were probably the best team in the AFC, and they called a quarterback sneak for Matt Schaub in Tampa. I believe they were like 7-1, 6-1, and he broke his foot. Like, they were the best team in the AFC, and he broke his foot, and that was that. And you know, you tend to skew your memories of Matt Schaub, but that in that season he was great, and in that season they were even better. And that was that. That was it. Yeah. No Texans big playoff run.
I ain't going to lie. The Kansas City Chiefs game kind of came across my mind.
Fake punt?
Yeah. Yeah, with Justin Reed, who had a torn labor at that time. That kind of crossed my mind because I was celebrating way too early.
Yeah.
I'm over here like, okay, it's about to be a Tennessee versus Texans AFC championship game. What I'm going to wear? I got to wear something.
Yeah.
And we know how that went.
Man, some people mentioned, 281 said, OG, we'll probably remember when they heard Roberto Clemente's plane crash.
I was a kid. I don't remember, but I remember the reaction. When he was on a mission. He was on a mission to, I want to say, Puerto Rico, something like that.
Seeing, someone said, the death of the Rockets Barkley trade when they sent the entire championship squad for Barkley.
Well, you didn't know that one until later.
Yeah, but I guess that is fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. You didn't know in that moment. Mm-hmm. Some other things that came out from 512, they said when Marty Schottenheimer started Elvis Gerbeck over Rich Gannon in the playoffs.
That's a pull.
Okay, excellent. but it means something to them, John.
I'm not saying it doesn't.
Appreciate you guys getting involved with the question of the day. Inspired by the A's, mourning and grieving the loss of their Oakland A's franchise that will ultimately eventually make their way to Las Vegas. They'll play in Sacramento for the next, I think, 2 to 3 seasons. All right, man, let's get back to Football Friday here in the Loop Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL where this running back's done, ain't he? We'll talk about it next.